everybody, and welcome to today's program. My name is Robert Bernier, and I am the pastor of Christian Life Church in Rehoboth, Massachusetts. And this program is called Life with Pastor Bob, where we bring life to your life. My purpose is to bring God a little closer to you and hopefully bring you a little closer to God. As always, this program is sponsored and supported by members and friends of Christian Life Church in Rehoboth, Massachusetts. Our church is located at 222 Plain Street in Rehoboth, Mass. We're about, maybe 3 miles north of the Swansea Mall on Route 118 as you travel north. Maybe about a mile over the Rehoboth border. Our church is right there on the left-hand side, just about a mile and a half north of that big old spider water tank that you see over the airs. This is our 30th year in Rehoboth. We bought the property in 1984, so we're celebrating 30 years there. Rehoboth actually comes from the name of a town in Rehoboth, and it means room, name of the town in the Bible, where a well was dug by Jacob. And Jacob finally found a place where there was some peace and some quiet, and there was a lot of room. And he dug a well there, and he named it Rehoboth. And Rehoboth means room for many. Jacob finally had a lot of room to feed his flocks and care for his family. And so we like to say that there's room for you in Rehoboth. If you don't have a church, you're welcome to come to our church or visit us. And you can do that by going to www.clcrehoboth.com. And you will get to our website, and there you can find contact information, emails, and you can even ask us to pray for a need. You might have a prayer need. We'd be happy to pray for you. Our purpose is to bring life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. And that means that it doesn't mean that your life is supposed to be a skimpy life when it comes to God. We want you to have the full life in Christ. And so that's our purpose there as a church. So call us, email us. You can even Facebook me. Go to Robert Bernier. There's a few Robert Berniers around, but if you can find mine, you'll find also a link to the church there on my Facebook page. So today, I want to talk to you about the family. You know, God created the family, and God loves your family. He wants to bless your family. And I have about 7 tips that I think will be helpful to you in just strengthening your family. Maybe it'll bless your family, and maybe your family's in trouble. Maybe it's broken. Maybe you had a great family. We've come from all sorts of different backgrounds as a people, don't we? And some of us might have had great nurture. We might have had a great upbringing. Some of us might have been challenged. And we learn from our families what to do. We also learn what not to do. But the last time I checked, our families and the family still is the primary source of comfort and care and fellowship for the human race. And families are the basic unit of our society. So I've got 7 things that will help you strengthen your family. If you're just tuning in, this is Life with Pastor Bob. You're listening to WSAR 1480. And you can also listen in to www.wsar.com and click the Listen Live button. And you can listen to us online or on your personal mobile device. So here, let's get into it. What are some of the 7 things that, these are not the only 7 things, but 7 key things that will help you strengthen your family. And let's start with number one. Number one is you need to treasure it. Treasure it. Treasure your family. Paul the Apostle taught the church, he told men in the church to love their wives and not to exasperate their kids. You know, when you treasure the things that are yours, you take care of it. God loves the church. God cherishes it. Paul taught the church to cherish one another. You know, today many people have been hurt. Sometimes it may not even be your fault. It could be your fault. And as a result, families become broken. But one of the things that will help strengthen and undergird a marriage, undergird a family, undergird not just a marriage family unit, but also an extended family, is that you would treasure your family. You know, I heard the story of an Indonesian man, poor man, had a cow in a rice field, became depressed, began to abuse his wife and family, neglecting them, and then something happened to his life. He found out that God treasured him. He discovered the love of Christ, received the love that God had for him, and then as a result, he started to change, started to treasure his family, and before long, he was telling his extended family how he experienced this turnaround in his life. When you treasure your family, you take care of it. Well, families are more important than objects, aren't they? In a region like this, we need great investment in families, and that doesn't mean we just throw a lot of money at it. We have to treasure the place we work. We need to treasure the community in which we live, and when we treasure it, we care for it. And that's a great building block for families. I've heard the expression, you've probably heard the expression, that love is a decision. Well, that's very much the same case when it comes to treasuring the things you have. And to me, it's something that starts to happen in the heart. Don't take these things lightly. Don't treat your job casually. Treasure what you have. God treasured his family, and he nurtures it. He cares for it. We're talking about seven things that will strengthen your family. Number one is to treasure it. Number two is to sacrifice for it. You know, I don't have to tell you, if you're the type of man that has to get up at 5 o'clock early in the morning to travel to get to your job in time for work, if you're the kind of person that has to meet deadlines, if you're a contractor and you've got to get something done before you get paid, if you're the kind of mom that has to work a second shift so that you have proper care, you have to wait till your husband gets home before you go home to take care of your kids, I don't need to tell you about sacrifice. But if you want to strengthen your family, sacrifice is an inevitable part of family life. And I've always heard wonderful stories of men who have sacrificed, women who have sacrificed, and others who have given of their lives so that others can have a life. You know, sacrifice means letting something go. Letting something go in order to gain something back. And sometimes sacrifice, we think of death, or we think of something like that. But you know what? Sometimes it means foregoing the expensive cruises and settling for some little day trips to the local park in order to allow your family to prosper and in order your family to make it. Well, you know what? That's a sacrifice. And I want you to know that it's something that God will honor and he will bless when you make sacrifice. And I'm not talking about being a martyr. I'm not talking about enduring things you shouldn't endure. I'm talking about every day. Families need to sometimes put themselves aside in order to participate in family life. You know, it might mean attending birthday parties you don't want to attend, graduation parties, extended family events. But you know what? It might also mean sacrificing a little time to take auntie to lunch or taking someone to the doctors. Good families require sacrifice. It's the same thing happens in the church. Something happens in communities. Some people give willingly. Other people fight it all the way. They're self-centered. You know what? You be a person if you're willing to give up a little something for someone else to get something, guess what? That kind of sacrifice will build families. Number three, feed it. Everyone has to feed their families, right? Well, I don't just mean good, healthy food, but nourish your family. Give it good opportunities. Give your family what it needs to grow. Healthy food, healthy relationships, but also healthy activity. You know, one of the things that God did is certain families in the scriptures were given great tasks to do, and they did it as a family group. Some of them were priests. Some had to build things. One family group built huge, massive wooden doors to secure a city. Other people built the walls. And at least one guy had to build a big boat, fill it with animals. But as a result, for 120 years, Noah built that boat, built that box. I'll call it a big box. And as a result, families were made safe, as a result. So a good family activity can actually make your family stronger. A good family activity will build unity. And you know what? Good family activity will also build fond memories that you will talk about for years. Sometimes one funny thing at a family event will be something that you will entertain yourself. Your family will be entertained by that event over and over again. So treasure your family, sacrifice for your family, and feed it, nourish it, give it what it needs to grow. I think good farmers understand that you give a plant what it needs to grow in order for it to produce the kind of fruit and the kind of life that will come from it. If you're just tuning in, this is Pastor Robert Bernier. This is Life with Pastor Bob, and I'm talking about families here on WSAR 1480. Family tips, 7 family tips that will help you strengthen your family. Treasure your family, sacrifice for your family, and feed your family. Nourish it. Give it what it needs to grow. You know, our family talks for years and years and years about family events and family things that went on, and uncles, some of them have passed on, and we tell and retell these stories for many years, entertaining ourselves, and they've built family unity. And, you know, I hear of people who do things as a family around Thanksgiving. Maybe they'll go and volunteer at a feeding center, or maybe they'll take on a project in the community. And I would just encourage you to do things together to nourish and nurture your family. Number 4, pray for your family. You know what? Praying is not hard. You know what? Praying, I like to say, is made up of 3 simple things: asking, seeking, and knocking. Now, I'm not the first one to use those words, but, you know, it doesn't take somebody with a big degree and fancy robes or lots of letters after their names to know how to pray. You know what? Ask God for simple things. Ask Him for your needs. Ask Him for the basic things. Ask Him for your daily bread. But also, ask Him for the wisdom, seeking. Seek out some things. A lot of people, you know, they say, well, I pray and I ask, and I don't get any answers. But I ask them after that, did you seek Him? Did you ask Him for guidance? Did you seek out the wisdom that you needed to make a good decision? And a lot of times we're neglecting those other types of prayers, and that's an important component. And anyone that has a family should be continually seeking for wisdom, seeking for answers, seeking for a supply to care for its family, but also in how to lead it. Finally, a lot of people don't know how to knock. And Jesus used the simple example of a woman asking a judge for justice. She kept asking that judge for an answer until he gave her the justice that she required. And sometimes when a person is in a position where they're praying for something, they've done all they know to do. They've asked for their basic needs. They've sought God for wisdom. And the final thing is usually a type of knocking type of prayer where you just continually come forward and say, okay, Lord, I understand that you want wisdom for my life. I need wisdom, and I'm going to pursue it until I have some proper solution. And you know what? If you're a family that has a medical issue, a financial issue, any kind of need in your life, you go through periods where you've done the asking, you've done the seeking, but now you just have to endure through that difficult time. Pressing in, we call it, pressing through until we have answers to our problems, resolution to issues that have arisen. And I just want to encourage you that if you want to strengthen your family, pray for your family. Paul the Apostle says in Scripture, Peter the Great Apostle said this. He said, I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. Look, one of our goals is to bring God closer to you and hopefully bring you closer to God. It doesn't take perfect words. It doesn't take a perfect person. It takes a person who fears God and knows what to do that is right to him. You cry out to him, and I can guarantee you that he will answer you. Again, if you're tuning in, this is Life with Pastor Bob, and I'm your host, Pastor Bob Bernier, and you're listening on WSAR 1480 AM. Listen, we treasure our families, we sacrifice for our families, we feed our families, we nurture them, and we pray for them. And number five, another tip to help strengthen your family is that you would judge it wisely. Judge it. Now, what do I mean by judge it? Any parent that has had two children fighting over a toy or for the last muffin or donut knows that they are going to be called on to be coaches and judges and decision makers. And you know what? Every mom and dad, every matriarch, every patriarch, if you have any sense of responsibility at all, you know that you have to make good decisions for your family. And you know what? Many people don't have all the answers right away, but God is good to be able to give you what you need. You need a good head on your shoulders. It's a great thing. You might have somebody else that you can call on to help you make some good decisions. Don't just take sides because it's convenient for you. I think that Bill Cosby used to say parents don't want justice, they want quiet. And many times parents will just resort to just trying to keep peace. But children want you to get in the middle of their little fracas, and they want you to be fair judges in their contests. And so don't just take sides out of convenience. Be a fair judge. If someone breaks the law, they've got to go before the judge, right? Well, it's the same thing in families. You've got to do what is right. There needs to be a fair and equitable way to resolve issues in families. You know, many, many problems go unsolved. And one of the things that starts to weaken a family is letting issues that should be resolved, letting them go unresolved. Communicate. Don't let family squabbles build up until they are irretrievable. You know, you had an uncle, you had, you know, maybe a cousin or an uncle, and, you know, you got into a little bit of a spat at some family gathering. Try to resolve it insofar as you are able. Try to resolve it before the next family gathering so there isn't bad feelings or bad spirit about it. Most issues can be resolved. Most issues can be resolved if there is a fair process. I heard a sad story one time of a dad who got his natural child a bike, but then he got a sort of an older, used, very worn bike for his stepchild. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's very loving, but I also don't think that it was properly judged. Maybe he thought that he didn't deserve to have to pay for someone else's child. I don't think anyone that has a good blended family would think that that was a good thing. At the same token, I've heard of stories of men who treated every child, even the stepchildren, the same at Christmas, at birthdays, and made sure that all the children in the household were treated equitably and fairly. You know what? If you want a strong family, make sure you judge that family carefully, guide it carefully. Number six and number seven, very simple things, but, you know, maybe it needs to be said. We need to guard our families. So we treasure our families, sacrifice, feed, nurture, pray for our families, judge it, and number six, we guard it. We protect it. You know, let me give you a simple story. If I go to the hardware store and buy a package of tomato seeds, I don't take those seeds, put them on a plate, and say, okay, how come you're not a tomato yet? We don't expect those seeds to be anything unless we put them in the ground, water it, and watch it grow. But when you plant, you know, anything around here, most small gardeners anyway, will put a fence around it to keep the rabbits out. Why? We want to guard it. We want to keep nasty weeds away from it. You wouldn't throw those seeds on the sidewalk or in the gravel bed either. And so you want to plant your seeds in good ground. And so when it comes to your families, you want to guard your family. You want to protect it. And I'm not talking about jealous guarding. I'm talking about good, honest, good old-fashioned protection. And you want to guard it. You want to keep your kids away from the bad kids, and you want to keep you want to keep them from going out. You don't want your kids hanging on the street corner at night. We were thrilled to interview in our last broadcast Chief Amaral, Chaplain Amaral, who said that he grew up in the projects, but at some point he turned his life around. But some of his friends stayed in that lifestyle, and some of them are in jail today. And as a result, they just hung around the wrong crowd. Don't let your family hang around the wrong crowd. And maybe what we need to do is put proper borders around it. The Bible uses the term hedging it. The old farmers would build a hedge. They would take thorn bushes and brambles and branches, and they would plow out a little ground. They'd put a little tower at the corner where they could kind of stand above it, and this bramble of thorns and hedge would protect that garden. It would protect their sheep at night, but it would protect their gardens from marauders and thieves and any other type of bad influence. And they themselves stationed themselves on the tower. And as a result, they could yell out if there were any enemies coming or if there was any bad influence coming to that area. It's being a watchman. And if you want a good family, you know, watch over that family. Make sure it's taken care of. When I was a young man, I needed to secure my property. There was an old rotten fence on the back of the property I didn't need. There was a stone wall there. So I took down that fence, took all the pickets, reused them, and put them on the front of my house. I wanted to keep our kids in the yard. It didn't keep the rabbits out. And it certainly didn't keep the cats out from doing their business on my side of the fence. But it did keep my kids safe. And you know what? You need to keep your family safe. Create healthy boundaries. You know what? If you're dating right now, create healthy boundaries for you and your friends. And you know, if you're a parent, insist on good boundaries for your kids, and they'll grow up to appreciate that, and they'll be healthier, and they'll have healthier families themselves as well. And finally, the last thing that I'd like to say, last tip that I think will strengthen strengthen your family, it would be to think about expanding your family. You know, for a husband and wife, that might mean having children, but I don't just mean the natural way of expanding children. I'm talking about expanding your being more inclusive in your family life. You know, that you would invite relatives, that you would attend their parties. When I say expand your family, I mean go beyond those few in your apartment and include neighbors and friends. Allow yourself and your family to expand and make room for others. You know, there are exceptions to this, but for the most part, people are born into families. But here's what the Bible says. A few things. You know, God created families. And one of the things that he said, it says, God sets the solitary in families. He brings them out, and he sets them into prosperity. Listen, God cares enough about the lonely. God cares enough about the solitary. He doesn't want them alone. He puts them in family groups. If you're Jewish and you're listening to this broadcast, Passover, God instructed the people to reach out to their families. If they had a small family, they had a big lamb to consume, they would invite their family and friends over so that everybody could consume the Passover sacrifice. You know what? It says in the Bible that God, it says in Scripture that God sets the poor on high and far from affliction. What that means, let me finish that sentence. And he makes their families like a flock. If you were a shepherd, you wouldn't leave them in the valley where they could get lost and they could just be eaten by wolves. You would lead your flock up the hill into the pasture lands and away from danger so that they could be a family. Jeremiah 31 says that at the same time, says the Lord, I'll be the God of all of the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. You know, God uses that language throughout the Scripture, speaking of families. Paul says that he bowed his knees unto God, our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family and the heaven and an earth is named. Jesus himself said, in my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So look, the scriptures talk about families. They talk about expanding families and making room, stretching the tent, if you will. One of the things that will help you build your family is to make room. Stretch it out and make room. One of the things that I heard last week at our church, a very nice lady gave the we call it a testimony. She kind of told the church how welcomed she felt coming into the church. It felt so much like a family to her. And she's a lady that lives here alone, apart from any extended family. She's from another country. And so being part of a church, she became part of a greater family. So God has a purpose for you and your family. He blesses families. He puts the lonely in families. He creates families. And he's still expanding his family. And there's room for you in that family. I've heard people joke, oh, they don't have enough room in heaven for me. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of room. If there wasn't room, Jesus wouldn't have said it. He's making mansions and he's making a place for you. So treasure your family, sacrifice for it, feed it, pray for it, guard it, judge it wisely, watch over it, lead it, and expand it. Now, listen, there's room for you in Rehoboth. If you don't have a church, you're welcome to come out to church. But you know what? Go out to your church community, tell your pastor hello, and tell him you appreciate, or tell her, he or her, whoever's pastoring your church, would you tell them that I said hello and that you appreciate them and the family of God that they are shepherding. Listen, I want to invite you, if you don't have a church family, come to church, join a Bible study, become part of our church family. Listen, if you want to reach us at the end of the broadcast, we'll have some personal information there for you, how to reach us. But this has been another edition of Life with Pastor Bob. I pray that we brought some life to your life and we brought God closer to you and hopefully you closer to God. Goodbye and God bless. You've been listening to another edition of Life with Pastor Bob, a weekly radio show that brings life to your life. This program is sponsored and supported by the members and friends of Christian Life Church in Rehoboth, Massachusetts. Christian Life Church is located at 222 Plain Street in Rehoboth, Mass. Our website is www.clcrehoboth.com. Our weekly worship services are at 9:30 every Sunday morning. We hope to see you there. God bless.